we've spoken this week, oh God. She asked for prayer, oh Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, as she goes to her do her exams this week, oh Lord. We ask you that your mighty hand will be upon her life, oh Lord. Take full control, oh God. That is your child, oh Lord, we pray. And we ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, for the sick among us, as when we sing, as when we hear from your word, as when we practice faith, oh God, touch our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, let our hearts and our minds be tuned to you this morning, oh God. In your precious name we ask these things, and all God's people say, amen and amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's nice to see you this morning in the house of God, at New Hope Christian Assembly. It's a great day, not because just it's a Thanksgiving weekend, but also we have candidates who are going to be water baptized today, and it's a joy to see when someone is going under the water and coming out in a new creation. So it's going to be an awesome day. So once again, welcome to New Hope Christian Assembly, and Thanksgiving to all, Thanksgiving Day to all of you. And I hope you put your turkey in a, look at this word you're using here. Did you put your turkey in a slow cooker? If you put it in a slow cooker, because that means we're going to have a long service. You got that. Huh? Slow cooker. It's a joke. But just we I know everybody's excited. We want to spend time with our family and our friends around the table and spend time in the presence of people, and they just celebrate a day of gratitude, a day of thanksgiving. But we know that the day of thanksgiving is not a one-time thing or one event for a year. Gratitude, thanksgiving is every single day of our lives. Every day of our lives, you should be grateful for God giving us a day of breath. So in a while, like we say that, we're going to be water baptized. We're going to see a water baptism service, and we would like to encourage every one of you here this morning. If you have not taken that step, I do encourage you to take that step. And if you want, and you really say, you know, Pastor, I really want to do it, and can I do it today? Who says we cannot break any rules? If you really want to get water baptized and you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know that He is the only one in your life, I encourage you to come at the end of the service. Come and sit on the front. We will baptize you today. Is that good? Baptism is symbolized that when what Jesus has already done in our life, and when we say yes to Jesus' grace and His mercy comes in our lives and changes our lives completely. And the Scripture even calls it born again or new life in Christ. So when we go under the water, like the old is gone, and when following coming out of the water, we come as a new creation. What a joy, what a blessing to experience the day of water baptism. And I believe many of us have experienced that day, and we can never forget that day when you were under and you came out of that water in a new creation. It doesn't make you a perfect person in Christ. No, it doesn't make you, but it's an act of obedience in doing what God has called us to do. Is now you're showing it publicly to in the congregation and saying, listen, I'm going to follow Christ as my personal Savior from this day forth. But my old is gone, and I became new. You in Christ. So we don't have to be ashamed to say we are in Christ. We cannot be ashamed we are in Christ. Following Christ, that's what baptism is all about this morning. That is not going to be my message this morning about baptism, though I'm going to link it in a little bit during the service this morning. So this morning I want to look at the Gospel of Luke. But before we still continue going in the Gospel of Luke, I titled this message, The Practice of Thanksgiving. Many of us forget to even thank our Lord and Savior, and I want you just to look at this morning with you. So when Jesus walked on the road, not only that He taught us how to walk, but He also showed us how to live a Christian life, because He is our ultimate example in our life. The practice of Jesus, the practice of thanksgiving of Jesus on this Thanksgiving morning, I pray that the Thanksgiving is not just a one-time deal, I just finished saying to you a while ago. It needs to be a lifestyle. You need to practice this daily in our lives. The moment we get up in the morning, thank God that He's given us another day of breath and we can live. Thank God that He has touched us. Thank God He has provided for us. Just, it's a daily lifestyle of thanking the Lord every day. And we know that there's many things that you and I can be thankful of. Bible does say, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It is God's will for you and I to thank Him. And in giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you find that in Ephesians. So in all things, give thanks to God. In all times, in some challenges, give thanks to even in some difficulty times. You can say, but why do I have to give thanks to God when I'm going through the hardest times of life? When you're going through the hardest times of life, He's actually giving you the strength to come out of it. So thank God that He's giving you that strength to come out of it. Because every one of us going through some situations or others. So we should always be thankful of everything. And even give Him thanks through the victories that we had faced during day after day of our lives. We just want to say, thank you, Jesus. We sing that song, thank you, Jesus, many times in this church here. And I pray it's not a song that we sing as a lie, but we believe it in our heart. Lord, thank you, Jesus. And when you thank, or the heart of gratitude thanks the Lord, when we just thank the Lord with all our hearts, the heavens open and the blessings come upon your life. And that's extremely important that we need to understand, because it is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Give thanks in everything what you do for the Lord. Give thanks for what He has done upon your life. So every one of us here this morning experienced the miraculous hand of God in our lives. Example, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That is a miraculous hand of God that touched your life, transformed you completely, and that is one of the reasons why you and I should be grateful of it this morning. You have experienced His hand. He came and freed us from sin and put us on a firm foundation. And we can just be grateful for that and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my life today. And the greatest miracle is salvation. And some of us have experienced the miracle hand of God in that way. Some of us experience God's power in your body. You have a miracle to share. He touched your life. He has healed you. He has strengthened you when you were weak. That is one of the reasons why we should be grateful of. Thank you, Jesus, for doing some. Some of our couples here this morning, we're going through the hardest time ever. And today, everything is skyrocket high. Thank Jesus. Thank our Lord and Savior that He had given you the strength to overcome those situations there. Amen? Those are good things that we should be thankful of this morning. Some of you have experienced even the great defeats in your life, difficulties, failures, or the lost loved ones. And when we went through those hard moments of your life, He has given you the strength to overcome it. He has given you that Holy Spirit to console your life in that precious time when you lost a loved one. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Holy Spirit to console my life this morning when you go through the most difficult times of your life. And once you were in that storm, you even asked yourself that question, how am I going to get over this? How am I going to overcome this situation in life? And you know it all, and all of a sudden, God comes again and He helps you calm that storm down and overcomes that storm and puts peace into your house, peace into your life. God's power walked into your life and gave you strength to go through that difficult moment of your time. Thank you, Jesus, for doing so. Thank you, Jesus, for the promises that you have for us. Amen. And once you were, and so what is our response when we go through these situations like this? In the midst of what God has done for us, our natural response to Him is to praise Him and say to Jesus, without you, I am nothing. I am nothing, Jesus. I need you, Lord. And He comes in the right time of your life. I remember this story was on CNN, and then I heard someone recap the story, and it just caught my attention. I want to share with you this morning. There was a young 12-year-old Ethiopian girl who was abducted by seven evil men. Seven evil men took this 12-year-old Ethiopian girl and they take him to a place isolated away from their family, away from their parents, and bring them to a place in a, far away all alone with seven evil men. And I remember this story as these seven evil men, you know the bad things that can be happening when a 12-year-old is alone with seven evil men. This 12-year-old Ethiopian little girl fear, afraid, being sexually assaulted by seven men, and later on to that, one of them would be married to this woman, a 12-year-old. But one particular day, when this young child is far away from the family, living in that life of fear, captured and afraid, and she knows that she'll be raped again and again and again from seven evil men, all of a sudden three lions come to that destination where she was, where the man was, and all of a sudden those seven men were afraid and took off and ran away. And now the little girl is right there. She's afraid that these lions will come and try to do something bad to her. But all of a sudden, the three lions just got around her and surrounded around her. That's the miraculous hand of God. And so if God can put lions around a child of 12-year-old, God will do the same, because you and I are a child of God. If God can direct the lion and bring that lion right beside that child and protects them, so when the cops came, when the authorities came, they were even afraid to say, what is going on? But God has everything under control. That's one thing that you and I should be grateful of, because our God is a big God and He knows what He's doing. And if you're called a child of God, if I'm called a child of God, what good father will let us abandon? No, He will come and protect us in every way. So that's one thing that I'm grateful of, for the miraculous hand of God upon my life, upon your life this morning. Let's look at Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. It's a very well-known story this morning. We heard this story probably on many occasions, but I want to bring it out to you in a different way this morning. May I ask the Holy Spirit to direct me when I lead, when I preach on this text here. Just because you've read it many times, don't tune your hearts away, but just listen. Because the Holy Spirit does things differently. The Holy Spirit knows what He's doing. And every time you read the Scriptures of God, it enlightens us, because it's alive. So even though if you've heard it many times, just listen to what God has for us this morning. It is amazing what God has shown me through the Scriptures, and I want to share with you this morning the same Scriptures with the same thing what God has placed on my heart. So now, starting at verse 11, it goes off like this. It says, now on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And He was going into a village. 10 men who had leprosy met Him. We all know that they had a skin disease, and these men were the outcasts. The priests at that time, they were the one who decided to say if they're clean or the unclean. So this was just unclean. They were far away from society, far away from their family right there. So they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when He saw them, He said, go show yourself to the priest. That's an interesting thing right there. Look at that. Go show yourself to the priest. The lepers already knew that the priest has kicked them out and told them, you're unclean. So why did Jesus say, go? There's something very important I'm going to show you there in that scripture later on. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except the foreigner? Then He said to him, rise and go, and your faith has made you well. So this morning, one of the things to experience the miraculous hand of God in your life, that's a question that we ask. How do I receive a miracle? How do we experience miracles in our lives? And the first thing we see in this text here is in verse 13. It is cry out for God's help. That is the first thing that they had to do. They knew that Jesus was there. He was passing by. So the first thing they said is, when called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So the first thing for a miraculous hand of God to be upon your life is very simple, is you got to cry out in a loud voice to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. You want to receive a miracle of God upon your life, not only in healing aspect, in finances, in anything that you want to see, the first thing is cry out for God's help. Because we know that that person we're calling out to is the one who will what? Respond to us. This is something extremely important that we're going to look at together. So they cried out, "I need you, Jesus. I need your help, Lord. I need you. I need your mercy, God." So the first step in receiving this miracle is going to God with a need and crying out for help. And all of us here this morning, we'll have all different needs in our life, situations. And some are more complicated than others. Some are just heavy. Some are just small things. We all have needs. And some came here this morning with emotional needs, battling with hardship. Some experienced depression. Some experienced discouragement or financial situation. We all have different needs, so we must trust in the Lord and call on Him this morning. And now, what are some of the reasons why people don't ask for a miracle? So the first thing is one of the reasons why people don't ask for a miracle. Very simple. Could complain about their situation. They complain about situation. When you complain about your situation, there's no way you're going to get a miracle. We can't complain about our situation. We just got to trust the Lord and pour your heart upon Him, and you will see that God will give you that miracle. But if you start complaining about situation, we're not going to go far. Because many of us do have that tendency, and when a situation comes, instead of focusing or crying out to God, we end up complaining about situation. Am I the only one? Are you with me this morning? Do you smell that turkey? Well, everybody's paying attention on that. Complaining hinders us, so we never get to the point of crying out to God, because we lose focus. Another reason why people don't ask for a miracle is they're giving up on life. Disappointments came into your life. You haven't seen God move fast enough the way you want Him to. Haven't seen anything. So disappointments just came in and gave up in life. And at times we face that. I have been disappointed. I have been discouraged, and I have been in thought of times of giving up to walk with Christ. Am I the only one? No. But if we continue looking at that and staying in our disappointments and staying there and focusing on that and complaining and disappointments, we're going to lose out to cry out to God. And when we lose out to cry out to God, you will lose out the miraculous hand of God upon your life. But these men, they cried out to God. And they didn't care who was around them. 10 lepers were, "I don't care who's beside me. I don't care if she or he is blind or deaf or whatever it is. I just want to call upon Jesus, because I know when I call upon Jesus, if something happens, something great is going to happen." And they cried out. So don't give up on life. Let's continue. Trust, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. The key word here is trust Him. We say, "Lord, we trust You. We give it into the hand of God." And the moment we just finish that prayer, we take it back in our own hands. Trust Him and leave it at Him and say, "It's Yours, Lord. And I trust that You will take care of it." Another reason why we don't cry out to God's help is because we are committed to figuring out and fixing out on our own problems. Oh, I can do it. I know I can do it myself. I want to do it my own self. You're going to try. You know, when some situation comes and you just all of a sudden, your human nature comes in, you say, "I'm going to take care of that person. I'm going to take care of that situation in my own hands. But reality is, we're going to lose out on the miraculous hand of God because you and I cannot do anything. Only God can do it. Only God can touch hearts. Only God can soften hearts of people. Only God can revive the hearts of people. Only God can heal. Only God who can bind. Only God who can bring peace. We are committed to figuring out and fixing out our own problems. We live in a culture that we say things like, I can do it. I can do it on my own, yes. Some of us even Google it and say, oh, I can fix this problem. I'm going to Google it, how to fix this problem situation. I remember the first time, Jesse's not here with me, and it was funny that he Googled it and how to shave. You could have asked me, like, really? But we use that Google all the time. We can do it on our own strength. Huh? So we get so desperate. And when we get so desperate, we go to every resource to try to fix our own situations, our own problems. But we and I must be desperate to go to God. And when you go to God, He's the one who's going to help us. Look at how beautiful this verse is. It's getting me excited because there's something extremely important here when we look at this text today. When is it that you're going to cry out to God? Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. When was that time that you were alone in your place at home or at wherever you were and said, Lord, have mercy on me? When you cry out to God, He will respond. Look what Jesus tells them. When you cry out to God and say, Lord, I need you. Friends, these lepers unashamedly cry out to God with a loud voice. They said, that is the only way I'm going to get healed is if I call out to God. I quote from A.W. Tozer, anything God has ever done, He can do now. Anything God has ever done anywhere, He can do here. Anything God has ever done for anyone, He can do for you. Yes, you see, God is unchangeable. He's the same God in the past, He's the same God for us. He has never changed. Friends, God wants us to cry to Him. He wants us to call upon His name. Whatever reason we submit, unmuted your voice to call upon the name of God today, try to find it again. Try to find it again. What muted your voice to not call on God, try to find it again and just call. Give that strength. Say, God, I'm calling to you this morning. But not just because I'm saying it. Not because you see it or you hear it from people. You know deep within in your whole, in your soul, and everything about you, that the only reason that you can be helped of is if you call to God. Not because I've told you this, but because you know inside your heart, He's the only one who will help you through it. Now these candidates had to call to God to be saved. They had to call to God. He said, no, I need you, Lord. And Jesus came and cleaned them and washed them. But then He responds. Watch this. The first step is encountering the most powerful God that there is. So if you want, the first thing is you have to encounter the powerful hand of God in your life. The first step is that, going to God, calling upon His name. And the second thing that I want to bring with you to point number two is when God speaks to you, when you call to God, here's the point, receive directions from above. Is if I'm calling to you and your ear is attentive, you're going to respond to me. So if you call to the Lord, rest assured He will respond to you. And we got to act to what He's telling us to do. Watch this. So when we cry out for a miracle, we cry out for God's intervention in our life, He will respond. And when these men cried out to Jesus, Jesus gave them direction. So these men cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me." Jesus responded in a way, he says there, look at a verse. "And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest." What a strange thing to do. They were just outcasted from the priest. "Why do you want me to go back to the priest? I am not healed. They're going to throw me back out." He says, "No, go show yourself to the priest." So when God calls, and when you call on God, he will respond to you and makes you, and he tells you things to do and what happens in our lives. And when it's the unreasonable things that he tells us, we don't take that step to go. How many of us has prayed for something in our lives, and when God spoke to us, "Is it really you, Lord?" But he does respond. He says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And once he was going there, the Bible says they were healed. Because it took faith. It took that step first. And when you walk into the road, God has healed them. You would see that. It took courage and faith from these men to go back to the priest. These priests kicked them out. He says, "Go." We've got to listen to the direction of God when he speaks to us. Watch this. "You're asking me," says, "you're asking me," this probably went into the mind of the priest, of these lepers. "You're asking me to go back to the priest, but it doesn't make any sense." But he tells them, "Go back." In other words, the priest who had taught them to, whenever they approached another person, they even had to shout out in a loud voice, "Unclean, unclean," because no one had to get close to that person. So now they're walking to the Lord that direction so they can avoid people say, "Unclean, unclean." And they're going to the priest. The point of this text that he directs them to do something, and it took courage, like we said, and it took faith from these men to go back to the priest. You see, church, when we cry out to God, he will begin to speak to us and he will begin to direct us. If you call out to God and he tells you to do something, take that step. Now, you might be asking, how do I discern God's direction? Here, how are we going to discern his voice in a loud culture? How are we going to discern his voice when there's so many other voices around us day after day? Very simple. The first thing is, test what you're feeling or hearing, then against them, then teaching of God's word. Test what you're feeling or hearing, teach them against the teaching of God's word. Bring what you're feeling and hearing and bring it to the word of the Lord and start asking, did he do this to others? Did he heal others? Did he save this person? Did he transform this person's life? Did he lead people in the similar ways? Did he lead people? How did he lead people? What did he ask about people to do in the midst of the journey? If it is in line to the scripture, that is the voice of God. If it's not lying to the scripture, it's not the voice of God. So when you call, he will respond. And if he tells you something and you want to discern what is that voice, if it is from God or your own voice, just direct it to the word of God and put it together and test it and see if it is God that speaks to you. Because many times we take steps and it's not really from the word of God. And we fail. And then we say, "Oh, what just happened here?" If we are discerning, if you're discerning and it lines up the word of God, now you take that step. Second thing is, gain wisdom from mature followers of Christ. Thank God for seniors. Thank God for men and women of wisdom. There's nothing wrong to go to the person that experienced the Lord for 40 years and try to gain wisdom from that person. That is, you can align up with the script. That person connect with God for 40 years or 50 years. They have this connection with God. They have this relationship with God. What better person to go? God has given them to us, the elders of the church. That's one way we can test if God's speaking to you. Just go and speak to them. They can give you some wisdom. So gain wisdom from a mature followers of Christ. And the followers of Christ, these mature followers of Christ, can help you navigate you through the process. You know, there are people that went through situations in life that you and I have never faced. So what person am I going to go? I'm going to go to that person who went through that situation, who succeeded, who overcame the situation, so they can help me overcome those situations too. Thank God for the ones who have wisdom. The wisdom that God has given to them. Church, once you call to God, expect Him to speak to you. And when He does, He will ask you to take that step. And some of those steps might seem impossible to do. Some of those steps may seem unreasonable to do. But what do you mean to go back to the priest? Lord, what do you mean? Lord, what do you mean that I need to go back to the priest? Lord, I need a breakthrough. I need I need a breakthrough in my life, and you're telling me to give my first fruits to the church, the first fruits to the ministry. What do you mean, Lord? I need my bills to be paid, and you tell me to take the step to give. It doesn't make sense, Lord. But when He tells you to make that step, let me tell you something. When you act in obedience and take that step without doubting and trust in the Lord, He will certainly provide for you. How many of us has called and God has told us to take that step and we turn that page? But once you call, respond. And I guarantee you, not because I'm saying, the Word of God says it, that I will provide for you. And some of us need to take those steps in life. We need to make those big steps in life that we're afraid of doing it on our own. But once you do it, let it rest assured that God will take care of it. Point number three, take that step of faith. Look at this in verse 14b. And as they went, they were cleansed. So Jesus at that moment there did not say, you're healed. He says, go first. Jesus tells us to go first. And once you take that step in obedience, in trust, the miracle will come. The miracle will come. That's how they were healed. They took that step first. Okay, it doesn't make sense, but I'm going to go. So while they were going, healed. Isn't that amazing? Some of us are going to be getting a miracle in your life that you never experienced when you take that step first. And that miracle is just going to come into your life. The miraculous hand of God is going to come into your life that you would never expect it. But that step must be first. Watch this. If God is asking you to take the step of faith on the road for a miracle, He will challenge you and challenge me to take out that step. Do you remember Joshua? Oh, look at this. It's amazing to see this. God gives a direction. The Lord said to Joshua, go stand in the river. Oh, what a weird thing. I can't get over. Just stand in the river. And when he stood in the river, go on to the next verse. Next one. The Lord's, no, you got not the wrong voice. So when he stood in the river, what had happened? When he reached at the edge of the waters and stand in the Jordan River, as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. Once you take that step, it's in the hand of God, and He will take care of it. We got to act on what God is telling us to do. It might seem unreasonable to do, to put your feet in the water. Do what I say and watch and see what I will do. If God tells you to give through the scriptures, do what He says and watch and see what God will do. If God says to go and lay your hand on someone to pray, and because of your fear you don't do so, but if you go and act in obedience and lay your hand and pray for someone, watch and see what God will do. Believe in that. What about Moses? Give him an instruction to staff to strike the rock. You give him, strike the rock. The rock is dry. There's no water's going to come out of there. But he says, no, just strike it. And once he struck it, water gushed. But remember, he got in trouble because he struck it twice. He didn't follow the whole direction. But once he struck it, when God says something, do it. If it's aligned by the scriptures, do it, and you watch what God will do. That's not my word. That's the word of God that tells us that. Those are people who experience the hand of God. And it's showing us, go back to the priest. Go back to Jesus. Go back. Take that step. Do it, and I will take care of you. What about Peter? On the boat. What did Jesus say? Come. He was the only one who went on. And once he did that, he walked on the water. He took that step. And this is what God is telling us to do. Take that step and watch and see what I will do. I'm trying to go fast, okay? So I'm convinced that part of the reason why we don't experience the miraculous hand of God is because we never take the step. We actually never go towards the priest. It is our journey. God would challenge us to take steps of faith. It's part of the deal when you're with Christ. New Hope Christian Assembly, we need to learn to take steps of faith. We need to keep on trusting God. We're going to say to God that we're going to trust you, Lord, and we know that you will meet us there. God will do amazing things in this church. And God will challenge us to take some steps. And we cannot be afraid when God speaks to us. Never be afraid when God says, take that step. Rest assured that He will take care of it. Church, God will do some great things. And it's up to us to take that step or not. But when He does speak to us, let's take it together as a whole. Let's not just complain and say, oh, that's impossible to do. Oh, it's unreasonable. He is insane. No. He's not insane. He knows what He's doing. Because He wants many people into the kingdom of God. He does not only want me or you. He wants many to the kingdom of God. So once He speaks, let's act on it. If it's aligned to the scripture, let's act on it. And you will see God will move in a mighty, powerful way. Do you want to see the miraculous hand of God upon your life? Do you want to see the hand of God, miraculous hand of God in the church? Yes. We got to take the step and trust Him that He will take full control. Point number four. Once you experience and encounter a miracle, once you receive the miraculous hand of God, we need to express thanksgiving. And every one of us here should express thanksgiving because every one of us has experienced the miraculous hand of God upon your life. Verse 15 says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. If you paid attention, in verse 11, together the loud voice called upon the Lord, have mercy on me. Now again, you hear loud voice praising God. But where's the nine that didn't come back and praise God? I pray that there are cry for God. I pray when we cry out to God, Lord, have mercy on me, is the same way we cry out to God and praise Him when you're touched and healed by the power of God. It has to match. It has to balance. Many times we call to God and we take off. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. And you know you have experienced, you have friends in your life and families in your life have experienced the miraculous hand of God and did the same thing as the nine walked away from the things of God when God has transformed their lives. that is sad to see. Gratitude when you pray and you when you are so thankful for God, what He has done, the blessings of God will be upon your life. And it hurts my heart that people around the world cry out to God with a loud voice, and when something happens, they walk away. I pray it connects together when you call to God in a loud voice, and once He responds, you cry out to God, praising Him in the same voice. 100% healed, 90% took off, 10% stayed. And in our churches is the same thing. 100% healed, 99.9% take off, and 1%, not even 0.1% say, oh, thank you, Jesus. He's demonstrating that for us. Gratitude is extremely important in life. Express gratitude daily. You know, there's one thing. I love gratitude. Thanksgiving is extremely important for me. Now, if I come into, and Audrey invites me to her house, the first thing that I say when I walk into the house, thank you for inviting me. That is the proper way to do things, no? Is that right? God has called us. God has called us a child of God, and we have a problem to say, thank you, Lord. Gratitude is extremely important if you want the heavens to open up to pour His blessing upon your life. So let's not be like the 90. The one least expected came back, the Samaritan came back and thanked Jesus for it and praised God. And the one in our lives is the one least expected is actually going to come back and praise God. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, verse 17, and thanked him that he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all the 10 cleansed? Were all the other 9? When God sets us free, giving us guidance or restored in our places and places of brokenness, we should share these stories of miraculous presence of God. The result of gratitude, like I said and I've mentioned, is opening a channel of blessing. Your blessing is abundant. God's physical blessings are so amazing. And spiritual blessing causes your mind even to marvel how big and awesome God He is. Remember one thing, New Hope Christian Assembly. We sing songs like Count Your Blessings and name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. You know, we can't even count all those blessings that God bestowed upon our homes and our lives. Every step you take, every breathe, every breath you inhale is a blessing this morning. Every time you walk, every time you open your eyes, every time you're actually, your heart is pumping. That's a blessing itself. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. So, miraculous hand of God upon your life. In a nutshell, cry to God. And once you cry to God, respond to His call. And once you respond to His call, you take that step, and on you're going to be walking on the way for a miracle. That's how you face, that's how you're going to receive the miraculous hand of God upon your life this morning. So I pray that this morning, even as we continue our service, or continue our the candidates will be water baptized, you take a moment and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, even for the candidates that took the step of faith. Come on out and say, I want to be baptized today. I want to follow Christ as my personal Savior. You know, thank the church. Thank the church. Thank Him for the ability you got up today. Thank Him. Thank Him for your family. Thank you for your church family. Thank you for the worship leader. Thank you for the pastor. Pastor, thank the congregation. Thank Lord for the congregation. Not hard. Just thank Him. New Hope Christian Assembly, we need to be a church that are always grateful. Remember these, that we're always grateful, always thankful, rather than grumbling and complaining about everything. No church that has an environment that way is glorified. Jesus is glorified. But once you are a church of gratitude and thankfulness, our Lord is glorified. And when our Lord is glorified, the windows of heaven, you know, the blessings will come down. Let this 2017 Thanksgiving weekend be the last weekend that we complain or grumble against people. But let's be a church who are grateful for what we got. And once we do that, the blessings of God will come upon our lives. Oh, I can't wait for that day. And I know you're going to find one or two people who are going to complain, but shut them down in the name of Jesus. And say, be grateful what you got. Be grateful what you got. Instead of looking at someone and say, oh, look at that person is having a hard time in their family. Oh, she must have sinned. No. We don't want, God is not glorified in that way. But instead, when you see that and say, we uplift you, sister or brother in Christ. We're going to pray for you. And I know with the Word of God, together we're going to succeed. And allow God to work in the life. So when God says, take that step, even if it's unreasonable to you, take it and trust Him. Lean not on your own understanding, but lean on His understanding, and He will make the path straight. Amen? So let's all stand this morning. I want to just pray, and then we're going to go to the water baptism this morning. We are so grateful this morning that two candidates are with us that receive. If there's others that want to be baptized today, you can come up forth. If you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you can come up front and I will baptize you with your clothes on, with your tie, whatever you want. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day of Thanksgiving. We're so grateful for all the blessings you have given to us, oh God. We thank you for the church. We thank you for our family members. We thank you for our friends, our health, the wealth. We thank you for prosperity. We thank you, Father, for even the healings. We thank you, Father, even for the struggle situations because you have even helped us through them, oh God. Lord, we have learned today to cry out to you with a loud voice. And once you cry out, we have learned that we should respond and take that step of faith. And once we take that step of faith, rest assured you will take care of it for us. We thank you, Lord, for a New Hope Christian Assembly, for every single one. We pray, God, that today, and I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, if there's anyone here has not experienced the hand, the miraculous hand of God upon their life, if they have not experienced you, Lord, as their Savior, I pray that they would take that step this morning. That would be the greatest gift that they will ever receive is you, Lord. Thanks be to God for that indescribable gift, and that is Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to be with all our home and our families, oh God. As we continue the service today, Father, we want to also pray for the candidates, oh Lord, that, Lord, we're so grateful they took the step of faith to go to any water baptized, oh God. The old will be washed away and the new will come, oh God. I thank you, Father. We pray that you will give them the strength to overcome situations after today, God. Be with them daily, oh God. As when they study your word, we pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would just speak to them. And would enlighten them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this great and awesome day you're given to us in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated as we have two candidates this morning. I just want to